to another episode of Bro 3 Podcast for November 29th, 2020. And how you doing, fam? I say, how you doing? How you not living your best life? When the words and Nina Simone.
Getting in the pity.
You know what I'm talking about.
But I'll tell you soon.
Yeah.
It's pity.
I hope you out there being sweet to each other. Kind to each other, not hurting people. Even if you can, you shouldn't. Right?
Isn't it a shame? Yes, how we break each other's heart.
Yeah, we break each other's heart, y'all.
And cause each other pain. How we take each other's love without thinking anymore.
I've been listening to that song like on repeat the last like couple days. Cause it's a pity, man. Like this, the way we treat each other. I'm talking about as human beings, not men and women. But that too, you know, like something happened like 3 weeks ago, and it's been on my mind a lot. Okay, so when everyone was still trying to get the, they were going across country, and people were still vying to be the president or, you know, vice president. When the election was still kind of, you know, on the way, when they were still on the road campaigning for votes. The president's son went to Twitter and told the people of Texas to go and stop the cavalcade. He said, give them a Texas welcome. It's one of those things where things that's understood don't need to be spoken, you know? And these people that were blinded, I guess, you know, they were these poor people. They're not rich, you know, a rich person say, yeah, go out there and give them a good old Texas welcome. These poor Republicans thought it was cool to stop the cavalcade of Democratic people, like hit the trucks and try to run them off the road, and then the bus had to stop, and this bus is surrounded by all these Trump supporters. I'm not even gonna say Republicans; these were Trump supporters. Big difference. I know it's hard to distinguish, but it is, and I empathize with the people on that bus. You know why? Because like I said, there's nothing new under the sun. When I saw that, I saw first people actively stopping democracy, but more as a black person, it hit me. It reminded me of the Freedom Riders. And a little quick history lesson for people who don't know. The History Riders were people, black and white. They would get on buses and they would go from typically Midwest, maybe the North. They would ride buses down to protest in the South for equality. They called the Freedom Riders. They used to take like Greyhound buses. And those buses got stopped. And people would like throw Molotov cocktails in there. Like young people died. And I put myself in that bus. You're literally just taking part of the democratic process. These Democrats, I don't know if Biden was on the bus. I don't know if Miss Harris was on the bus. It shouldn't matter, though. These people were doing their civic duty, and they were on this bus going to Texas to get their message across. And people who were unwilling to hear were ramming this bus and stopped this bus. Do you imagine how terrifying that would have been? I'm talking about in 2020. I ain't even talking about 1960. 2020. We've come a long way, but we've got very We got a long way to go. And that, I don't know, I thought about that a lot. Anyway, I didn't know. Okay, now it's time to get messy. I didn't know that, I don't know if Kamala, or I think her name's Kamala, Kamala Harris, I don't know if she's married. She might be. I don't know. But fun fact, apparently, and this got nothing to do with nothing, but she dated Montel Williams. Like, recently, I guess, apparently. That's got nothing to do with nothing. The reason I brought that up is because if Kamala Harris is the, you know, vice president, I don't know what you call her husband, but I like this anime show. It's called Black Samurai. Now, just follow me. It's a long way to go, but just humor me. All right, so there's like these two headbands, right? Just regular like headbands you wear across your head. If you have, there's a number one headband and a number two headband. The person with the number two headband can challenge the number one guy with the headband. The only person that can fight the number one is the guy with the number two headband. But anybody can fight number two. So number two, that's no rest for the weary. You know, number two, if he's sitting asleep in the middle of a field, people can just come fight him to get his headband to challenge number one. I wonder, like, if there was a woman president or vice president or something, like, those should be the rules. Like, you should just be able to knock on the White House door. You know what I'm saying? You're like, I'm here to challenge the number two. And her husband got to come downstairs and fight. He got to fight for her love. Like, I don't care what's going on. They could be sitting there kissing babies. And one of the babies is secretly like a hand grenade. He got to toss the baby. He's got to be on his toes. I don't care if we have a, even if we have a woman president, same rules should apply. If I go, you know, and I knock on the door and, you know, her husband answered the door. He ain't ready. He ain't had his morning coffee. Punch him in the throat. Pock him. Take the headband. Look at me. I am the captain now. It'd be way more fun. I'm just saying, it'd be way more fun. This year has been crazy. Like, do you realize, like, before coronavirus took effect, like in 2020 at the beginning, like, when they were talking about, because before it hit, we all just think coronavirus started in March. No, it started in America in March, North America. Coronavirus was hitting other places all around the world. Like, before it came to us, we had like about a year or so to get ourselves together, maybe a little longer. I remember seeing ISIS. They actually made an announcement talking about they was going to take a break since ain't nobody paying them no attention. How needy and bougie is that? Like, ISIS, not even Al-Qaeda. No, I'm sorry. Was it Al-Qaeda? It was one of them. I think it was ISIS. Yep, it was ISIS. ISIS is like the world's needy, petty girlfriend. Like, we got with ISIS on the rebound, you know, because we broke up with Al-Qaeda because that was a toxic relationship. We were like, we can't do this. And Al-Qaeda was like, what is it? Is it me? We was like, look, Al-Qaeda, look, we can't do this with you no more. Oh, because I'm not their country. Is it because I'm an ideology? Because you can't fight ideologies. Everyone knows that. And we as Americans were like, look, Al-Qaeda, it ain't you. It's, and then Al-Qaeda was like, wait, am I not dangerous enough? I am not sexy enough. We were like, no, Al-Qaeda, look, we got to grow up. We've been dealing with you for too long. And like, I know what it is. It's that ISIS, isn't it? We were like, no, it ain't. Yes, it is. She has a sexier name. She's the new chick on the block. We're like, look, Al-Qaeda, look, we can't see you no more. And Al-Qaeda was like, we're fine. So then ISIS was the new sexy thing on the block. You're like, I don't know. Hello, fellas. And you're like, hey, ISIS. What you doing, ISIS? And then Al-Qaeda, she was still jumping in our DMs like, remember me? Remember 9/11? We were like, look, we done with you now. We moved on to ISIS. And then ISIS was flying banners and stuff, doing a little just whole stuff, you know, getting our attention. And then Al-Qaeda
ISIS. ISIS say, since no one is paying attention to us because we can't blow anything up because of Corona, I guess we'll just take a break. And we as America, we grew up now. You know, we had, what, 10 years, 20 years of crazy Al-Qaeda? You know, and that we had 10 years of ISIS. We looking for something more mature. So ISIS was like, I guess I just move on. I think ISIS married an NBA player or something. She's got an OnlyFans page. She's doing all right. Even though they killed the man in France because he showed a picture of the Prophet Muhammad to his class. He was a French guy. And remember in 2015, they had the shooting. The newspaper magazine, French magazine, they printed a cartoon about the Prophet Muhammad, and, you know, they came and shot up the place. Well, I guess the French teacher was with his class, and he showed up a picture of, you know, this is what happened 5 years ago, and this picture had led to a horrible massacre. And one of the little boys in the class, I guess he told, you know, snitching, ISIS third, fourth kid or something, went home and said, teacher, show this a picture of the Prophet Muhammad. And then ISIS was like, I know he didn't. And then called her baby daddy, not the NBA player she married. I'm sorry, NFL player. She had this sex tape with the NBA player. Called up her religious baby daddy. He's a hotep, you know. So then they beheaded that man. I don't know where this is going, but welcome to the podcast. Oh, real quick, I'm gonna tell you, okay. Fam, I know I say this often, but it's true. It's true now. It's probably gonna be true for a while. If I don't have anything positive to say, or maybe if I'm confused about things, and I take my time. Sometimes things happen where I have to process. And that's a good thing. That's for anybody. I know about a month or two ago, I had a guy, he was a new listener. He was like, hey, man, I love your podcast. I said, well, thank you, man. And then the next time he saw me, he was like, hey, I was waiting for another podcast. I listened to it when I drive into work. And I was like, hey, you know, I'm sorry. But, you know, the thing is, when I do something, it has to be in the right spirit. And then he seen him again, like, you go, tell you what, buddy, you just lost a listener. I was like, I'm sorry to see you go, but I'm going to tell you this. Sometimes you don't want people saying things because they're going to speak from a wrong place. They're going to speak from maybe a place of confusion or anger, you know, something like that. So let me just, In the midst of my day-to-day, you know, the things I'm dealing with, trying to stay safe, trying to keep my family safe, trying to make sure Zion is healthy and happy, let me just give you a rundown of what's been going on, right? And I actually had to write it down. Like, I just made, like, as these crazy things happen, I just kept a little list, okay? So, November 3rd, while everyone is in waiting to see what's going to happen with the election, I come out, I'm taking Ebony out for a morning walk, and I look at my car. I'm putting Ebony's leash on, bent down, putting a leash on. I look over at my car, and I see a box, like, under my car, like, near the trunk. Like, maybe it blew under there? Maybe, like, what is that, right? It was kind of wedged under there just a little bit. As I walk closer to it, I realized it was a box that I had in my car. I'm like, huh, did I come out? Did I drop it by accident? So as I look around, I see other little things that shouldn't be outside, shouldn't be blowing around in the wind. I see a bag. I see just little things. And so I look at my car. My car doors are closed. Then I look in my car, and someone is actually, my glove compartment's down. Someone went through my car, like, looking for something. So I open up my car door, I look around, I left it unlocked, and I'm like, okay, well, everything seems to be here. I checked the back seat. Ain't nobody pooping my car. Dirty Mike and the boys didn't have their way with it. And I'm looking around, and I see someone found a ring box in my car. And I guess they grabbed that and were like, that's good enough. They walked away, looked in it, just saw the box and threw the box down. So that was cool. I looked in my trunk. Everything was there. No harm, no foul. No need to call the police. Just let me know. Lock my doors. The thing that I found interesting is while people were worrying about the new leader of the free world, like this person was like, hey, open car. You know, but okay, so fair enough. November 6th, I'm home, I'm off of work. I've napped most of the day. You ain't supposed to be outside anyway unless you're getting them essentials, right? So I take me a nap, I wake up. Great thing about being old and like your house is empty, you just go to sleep. You watch TV a little bit, it's boring, go to sleep, wake up. Hey, it's like time travel in a sense. So I took me a nap and I woke up about 9 o'clock p.m. Now, it's dark, you know, it's November. It's dark and I go use the bathroom. So I go use the bathroom and I'm hearing something. I'm hearing, like, music. And I hear it. I don't want to turn on the light because if I turn on my light, then you can see me from the alley. I'm always nervous about people looking at me while I'm on the toilet. So I'm using the bathroom, and I'm old, so I'm sitting there, I'm just listening. And I hear the, you know, I hear the jam playing. I hear this, but it's like it's across the alleyway. So, you know, I finish doing what I'm doing, and I go look out the window, and my neighbors behind the alley, they got like a party going on, right? So I'm sitting there looking, I'm like, ooh, okay, that look fun. It's a little loud, but it's okay because it's jam. I ain't tripping. So I go sit in the house, but I still hear it, right? Sitting there now I'm like, you know what? Skip it, man. I ain't been out nowhere. I'm just gonna go walk over there. You know what I'm saying? Like, that'd be okay, right? I'm just gonna go walk over there. So I see the bonfire. I see the people dancing and everything. So I put my mask on, give Ebony a pet, and I'm heading out the door. So I walk to the back of the house. I'm cutting through the backyard. I go and I open up the back gate. And across the alley like this, there's a house and there's like a empty lot. So there's a whole bunch of cars parked over there. And the party's like jumping. So I slowly make my way across the alley. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't want to run up on nobody. And as I get close, man, like I say, it's the fire going. I see the shadows of the people dancing around the fire. And it felt real tribal. You know what I'm saying? Like, I felt transported back in time, real talk. So I see them, and they, you know, everybody having fun. Henny bottles was kind of making their way, like they under the table, because you don't want the older folk to see the Henny bottles and stuff. I smell some kind of burning herb in the air that really made me feel like, you know, the Native American vibe, right? So I'm standing by some trucks. I'm standing by a Dodge Ram, right? So I'm just standing there, I'm watching the fire. And I don't want to just run up on this one tribe because I don't know that we might not be as cool as I think we might be, right? So I'm standing there, and I see an older lady. She laughed. You know, black people, when we laugh, we go, ha, 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 ha. She threw her head back and saw me kind of standing there, right? So she sees me, and then, like, she kind of turns around and looks at me. And I wave at her. I got a mask on, but I wave at her, whatever. And then she, like, kind of pats him on the shoulder. And, like, then the whole table of older ladies, like, turn around and look and stuff, right? So I said, hey, I'm your neighbor from across the alley. And I just heard the music. Like, is it okay if I just kind of stand for a little bit, just, you know, kind of vibe out? She said, young man, I got two questions to ask you. I said, yes, ma'am. She said, do you steal? I said, no, ma'am. She said, do you kill? I said, no, ma'am. She said, welcome to the party. So I'm like, okay, cool. I'm literally just standing by a truck because I'm still practicing social distance, masked up and everything. So I'm watching next to the fire. There's also a barbecue pit, right? They got Christmas lights. They got seats. It's about There's quite a few people out there, but I kept my distance, right? So I'm looking over there by the fire. The little girls, the young girls, they over there. You know how young girls, they be over there dancing, doing, hey, twerk it up, move it up. And then, you know, the auntie, she like, I used to get down like that too. And she trying to do the Watusi. I look over to my right, by all the cars and stuff, all the young men, they must be vice lords or something, because it's like they all over there. They got their Henny bottles. But they doing what? When you get older, you start recognizing things. And, like, I don't know if they all related, but the guys over on the right, like, they wasn't paying no attention to the girls on the left. And then the guys, they over there, like, rapping to each other, like, hey, and then I had said, and then she had said, while I got my bread, I was getting some, hey, you know what the time is. And as they talking, their gold teeth is flashing, whatever. So I stand there for a hot second. Come to find out, it was the birthday party of my neighbor, the guy who actually owns the house. He was either turning 50 or 60. You know, it's kind of hard to tell with black folk, right? So anyway, I stood there for 10 minutes. Did not dance with nobody. Did not nothing. I had to go get my daughter. So I leave the party, right? 10 minutes in, 10 minutes out. You know, war and tribe, just making peace. So I drive, get my daughter, all the way down to Rensselaer, all the way back. Now, in the car, I'm telling Zion, I'm like, look, there's a house party going on behind our house. And she like, but Daddy, I'm scared. I'm like, what are you scared for? Like, you can't be scared to meet people, see new things, new experiences. By the time we got there, though, crazy thing, by the time we got there, the party was gone just as soon as it came together. Like, I woke up, party left, party was gone. I liked it, though, because it let me know that, like, no matter what's going on in White House, or, you know, we going to celebrate ours. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's one thing black people have always been able to do. We celebrate ours, and we can party regardless. It don't matter who's in that White House. You know, I dug that, right? So then, November, either 12th or 16th, I can't remember at that point, I met Captain Ron. Okay, now this guy, he's one of those people, have you met somebody? Well, you didn't even meet them. You just saw them, and they left an indelible mark on you. Last year, I call him Ron, Captain Ron. I saw him walking, right? Brother, it was hot, it was August, he was walking, and he had a cane, but it wasn't a cane. It was like one of those marching band canes. So it had like a big brass top on it. And he was walking like in a procession. Like, you know what I'm saying? He had on a red shirt, like a Steve Harvey short sleeve shirt, a black wife beater, a red bowler, like a fancy hat, and like some red shorts with some high black pants. He was an older gentleman with some shades on. He was walking like nothing affected him. He was kind of strutting. He said, and I was coming out the house. He said, young man. I said, yes. He said, what is the temperature supposed to be today? I say, it's supposed to be hot and humid, man, like 80 degrees. He said, very well. I shall go home and have some eggs and lay under the air conditioner. And then strolled off. I was like, who is that? What is that? That brother is not of this earth, because he's walking like nothing's bothering him. So November, like I say, 12th or 16th, can't remember which one. I am driving by the liquor store. The liquor store is not open, and I see him. As soon as I see him, I see the cane, marching band, ready to get on. You know, her, you know, black HBCUs, they be getting down with the, anyway, so I see him, and I'm like, hey, what's up? He said, nephew. That's how old people who don't know you, but they just call you nephew. What's up, nephew? I say, what's going on? He said, I'm waiting for the liquor store to open up, man. I say, oh, all right, man. He say, man, it's cold out here. I said, yeah, it is. And he was like, so they opened up. He's like, oh, be right back. So he went up in there, right? So I'm sitting there waiting, because I got to know more about him. Got to know more about him. He's too interesting of a person. So I go in there. He was like, man. And as soon as I walk in there, he was like, I got my little net, man. I said, okay, cool. I said, yo, you need a ride or something? He said, man, I would love a ride. I said, okay, cool. I'm looking at that cane, man. And the only thing I'm feeling is this right here. This is what I'm feeling right here. I said, I can, because he started stepping out the place. I was like, man, I got to know more about this cat. Like, I just feel it. HBC. He walking like, He had on blue jeans, and he old because he had like that bona fide crease, like the crease where you crease it in so much it's white where the blue jeans is. I was like, yeah, he got his shades on. Brother is wearing two pearl earrings in one ear and one pearl earring in another ear. Got his Lokes on, and he's got a hat on. He's got a some kind of Bill Cosby sweat on and like a leather jacket. So I'm like, all right, cool. So he's like, Nathan, you gonna give me a ride, man? I said, yeah. He said, oh, that's very well, very well. So I gets on my side of the car. Now, what I didn't notice about Captain Ron is the big Bowie knife that he had just in his belt. Like, it wasn't the sheath. It was just, like, I'm talking about like a Crocodile Dundee. That's not a knife. This is a knife. Knife, right? So Captain Ron puts his cane in, and I'm, you know, and Captain Ron grabs the knife. He say, sorry, young man, don't want to cut up your seat there. I say, okay, cool. So now I'm giving Captain Ron a ride, and he's got this big Bowie knife sitting around his lap. And he's got his shades on, and I just happen to, now that I got closer to Captain Ron, he's got a bona fide scar, like a buck 50 is what they call it in jail. A buck 50 from like his ear all the way down to his chin. Right, so he said, "Woo, it's always cold out there." He took his little, he had a shot. He took his shot. Woo, and he got a knife sitting right there. I was like, "Oh, geez, I'm sitting here with Captain Jack Sparrow." Because before we drive off, he said, "Good thing you gave me a ride, young man, because I'm blind in one eye." I say, "What?" And I turned around. He took his shades down, and the eye next to me was a regular eye, but the eye on the right side, it was all milkied over. I don't know what you call it. It was cataract over. It was milky. He was like, and he gave me a smile like, "Good thing you gave me a ride, son, because I'm blind." I was like, okay. So as we driving, got the Bowie knife right there, but that's okay, y'all, because I got my Wolverine claws right at my feet. I guess apparently the dudes who broke into my car don't know treasure when they see it. So I got my boy. I like, look, if he stabbed me, I'm gonna grab his Wolverine claws. I'm gonna give him another buck 50. I guess buck 50 times three is what? Three. That's 450 across his face. So it's gonna be good. It's gonna be good. So anyway, I give him a ride or whatever, and he was telling me that like he's 62 years old. His name is Ron. I call him Captain Ron because he's, you know, he's a pirate. He's got the curse of the black pearls on his ear, man. Yeah, he's a pirate. Everyone knows pirates when they see him. Who else walks around with a big buccaneer knife and pearls and a cane of the finest brass, right? So anyway, I give him a ride. He lives on the next block over from me. He said, "Oh, you live on a good block, man. You live right next to the police. And there's a, what do you say?" He said, and there's a state trooper over there. I say, "Oh, word?" He said, "Yeah." I say, "He don't know. He talking to me. I ain't no state trooper. I'm a corrections officer." But that's fine. Drop him off. He's like, "Be good, man. If you ever want to talk, man, just come on. My name's Ron." I say, "All right." And I was like, "Captain Ron." Right? So what else happened? 22nd, got bit by a dog. All right, okay, this was on me. I can't fault the dog. This one was completely on me. Right, so walking down the hood, and I see a white Dodge Ram. It looked like a city vehicle because it had like the yellow lights on top, and it had tools in the back. Right, two Mexican cats, one's in the driver's seat, one's walking like around the car, but it's parked around, it's parked close to the liquor store. The way they were laughing, they probably had a couple cervezas, and I've seen them again, like I think today before I came to work. So, there's a dog. This dog, it looked like the dog from Lady and the Tramp. Not the nice dog. One of the sad dogs that don't. It's got like a mop on his head. You know, he's only got the one eye showing. So the guy in the driver's seat, the dog was sitting on his lap. But it's like, it looked malnourished and everything. So anyway, these guys, I pull up and I'm like, "Hey, what's going on?" And they speak in Spanish. They don't speak no English. I'm like, "Okay, that's what's up, right?" I said, "Oh, man, that's your dog." Now, I never pet people's dogs. I was like, "Oh, man, can I pet your dog?" And I didn't hear a yes. So that's on me. I know Spanish is C. That's yes. And I didn't hear a no. That would have been no. I didn't hear any words like muy mal, which is very dangerous, no, very bad. I didn't hear peligroso, which is dangerous. I didn't hear no and they were laughing. And again, I think the beers got to them. talking that thing, right? So I'm like, all right, cool. So I'm going, and the dog was like, don't pet me. I was like, oh, you just need some blood, don't you? Like, I don't know why I did that. I put my hand out there. Dog bit me. He bit me twice real quick. And then, like, I had slow reaction time, and they started laughing. So I started out like, he's really gnawing on it, isn't it? And the dog was like, you think it's a game, Mike? I'm assuming it's a Spanish dog. You think it's a game, Mike? He was like, yeah. He hit me two more times. So I got a total of 4 bites. And then, like, I'm laughing. They laughing. I was like, and then once he let go, like, and now I release you. And he let me go. I was like, I guess that's what I get, huh, fellas? All right, have a good one. They just kept talking that Spanish talk. Yeah. Got bit up, and then for Thanksgiving. Well, I'm sorry, 24th maybe, 24th. I was in the house. I was in a low point, and I went through my phone. I was calling people, I haven't talked to, you know, a year, 2 years, 3 years, just checking on, because I was in a low place, and I had no reason to be. So I wanted to make sure people were okay. I was calling. I called my auntie first, and she said, oh, Lord, don't tell me nothing happened to my sister. I was like, no, I'm just calling to check on, make sure everything's cool. She said, she okay? I said, yeah, she fine. Oh, Lord, you scared me. I said, yeah, I know. She was like, but everybody good, though. I said, yeah, everybody good. Talked to her, talked to a lot of people, just because, like I say, this has been a tough year. This has been a tough time. And I want some uplifting, and people really happy to hear from me. It made me feel real good. And then finally, Thanksgiving. I spent this one in the house by myself. And I've had squirrels in the attic, like literal squirrels in my attic. And my neighbor, he's a polite guy. He was like, hey, man, you know, you got squirrels in your attic. I'm like, yeah. And he was like, yeah, you need to do something about that. Now, fam, I don't like hurt nobody. I believe in live and let live. But I heard one, like, scrambling behind my wall. And I was like, you know what? Yeah, this is what I'm about to do. Somebody told me pour. I feel bad even saying it. Somebody said pour, like, a little bowl of antifreeze in there. Pour up antifreeze in a bowl. Put it in the attic. And because it's sweet, the squirrels that drink the antifreeze. And, you know, after dealing with these squirrels for, like, months, I was like, you know what, I got to do something. Apparently, there's no humane way necessarily to do this. So I opened up the closet, and I didn't know, like, when I had guys look at the roof, they went through the attic. I knew that. But they didn't put the latch back, the wooden panel that goes there. So as soon as I opened up the closet, the only thing I hear is chittering. Like, whatever sound squirrels make, I'm not going to try it. Yeah, I am. I hear that, right? And I figured, okay, they should be scared of people, right? But I guess realistically, they've been living under people all their life. So they ain't scared about. So I started talking loud. Like, just talking like nonsense, because I was talking to myself. I was like, hey, man, who said that, Jack? You better go on somewhere. I wish your mother. What? That what happened on the other side of the street? Saying stuff like that. And the only thing I hear the chittering getting louder, like, I wish a person would on the other side of the street, right? So I start hitting the wall, like, man, if the squirrels around here don't know what time it is, the chattering is getting louder. I think the male squirrel, like, who downstairs making up all this noise? So attics freak me out. Because when you're going up an attic, like your head or whatever you put up there, and it's at the level of attack, you know what I'm saying? Like, if you put your head up there, your eyes are right there. Like, it can gouge your eyes, whatever's up there, the monsters, Cthulhu, whatever's up there, right? So I'm taking my hand. It's already got dog bites. I hope they smell the dog pheromones and know that I'm a wild animal too. Luckily, put the little bowl up there, and I just bring my hand down. I put the little hatchback. So I guess in the true spirit of Thanksgiving, I poison the indigenous people who live in my attic. But on the bright side, the dog that bit me didn't have rabies and didn't have corona because, you know, cousin Jay is making fun of me like, Tony. I said, yeah. He said, what's been going on, man? I told him what happened. He was like, oh, bad news. Like, you could have caught the corona. I said, yeah, I could have. He said, you would have been one of those fast zombies there. I said, yeah, like, I could have been a fast zombie. Yeah. You got to talk about it on your podcast. I said, I definitely will. So that's been approximately 2-3 weeks. I hope your weeks have been going great. You know, for the most part, I like to think I'm pretty laid back. I like to think I'm pretty chill. If anything, I'm easy. Easy like Sunday morning, for the most part, most days. I mean, a lot of times I have a look on my face, but that's because I'm working things out in my own head. You know, I try to watch my tone. I try my best to take people's feelings into consideration. But admittedly, a couple days ago, I said something that upsetted somebody I care about. I didn't yell at them. I didn't rant and rave, hoop or holler, but the words I said, they had a profound effect on this person. And this person, they told me, say, you know what, Tony? You have an anger problem. And I said, no, I don't think so. But when someone you care about tells you that your behavior is making them feel a certain type of way, you have to do some examination, some internal, you know, soul searching. So first I thought, like, do I have an anger problem? I just didn't want to just dismiss it. So I was like, I don't think so, but I'm in the situation, so it's kind of hard for me to be objective. So what I did was I went to YouTube and I typed in anger management. And then I got some videos. And then I saw one video. It was a TED Talk. It's by this woman. I don't know if she's like a dentist or one of those ladies who sing in Joel Osteen church. You know, just she was smiling and whatnot. So she had like 3 million views. And the title was Anger Can Be a Good Thing. So I click on it, and she's talking, and she doesn't seem like she has problems. You know, like, anger would not be something I would attribute to this person. Like, she's smiling, and the thing with TED Talk is everything is measured. You know, she comes out, and she's polite. She starts off with a corny joke, and then she was explaining that there are two types of people that manifest anger, or they come down two ways. One person has an explosive outburst, and that person typically says things or does things, and they are ashamed of their actions. And then the other type is a repressive, someone who just keeps putting the pain or anger in the trunk until it finally explodes. So I listened to her, but it didn't speak to me. So I decided I was going to type in, do I have an anger management problem? I typed that into the little box, right? The little search box on the YouTube. And for a video popped up with that same title. Do I have an anger problem? So I click on it, and no, I'm sorry. Yeah, I click on it, and then, okay, this white guy comes up. He looks like, let's see. He looks like a Jim Henson character. He looks like Ralphie, the guy who used to sing for the kids. He looks non-threatening. He's balding, but he ain't let go of the head yet, so he still got like a little fuzz on the side. He's got a sweater on. He's got like a non-threatening beard. You know, he's got like a soft voice. These things right here let me know this is not the person I need to speak to me about anger management, right? But I wants to know. I got to know. So I click on the video and he comes on. He's got a lisp and his voice is soft. And right there, I need my anger management guy to be like, hey, do you have a problem with your anger? Are you barely holding on? Well, guess what? This is what you do. You man up. Huh? Are you a sissy boy? No, you ain't no sissy boy. Yeah, we all got problems. You deal with it. You be nice to people who love you. I need somebody that is struggling with the anger. But this young man, I don't know what his name was. He comes on, he says,
hi. Do you have a problem with your anger? Well, there's 10 questions you can ask yourself to see if you have a problem with your anger.
And I'm like, I ain't got no problem with my anger. Like, and I'm driving to work as I'm listening to this, right? I'm trying to do some self-help, some self-soul searching. But it's angering. It ain't angering. It's not angering. It's just, it's working my nerves just a little bit. So my man says, what'd he say?
Question number one. Now, question 10, do you find yourself surrounded by stupid people?
And I'm like, well, let me think. I work in a jail, so I'm not saying they're stupid, but I'm definitely dealing with people who maybe have anger issues of their own, and maybe I give that energy back. So let's put that as a maybe, you know. And he was like,
question number 9. Do you find yourself constantly angry and thinking that life isn't fair?
I said, well, now I'm grabbing the steering wheel a little bit tighter, but I'm like, okay, this question is a little bit loaded because, I mean, I'm not using this as an excuse, but I'm saying I'm a black man in America. So, yeah, by definition, things ain't necessarily been fair. And sometimes, yeah, I ask myself that question, right? So I'm sitting, I'm going through this, I'm listening, and my leg is bobbing a little bit, and I'm grabbing both hands on the steel where I keep turning away. That's like my defensive move. If I'm trying to say something emotionally or if I'm agitated, I tend to turn away from what I'm talking to. So as I'm driving, I keep turning my head like away from the radio. I'm like, yeah, maybe a little bit, you know. And then so I'm listening to this man, and in one part he did like a little corny joke. He says something like,
and sometimes when things happen, you just got to say, that's not the dealio.
And I was like, now I feel like that's pandering. Like, okay, you don't use the word dealio in your regular life with your manicured beard and your bald head, you know, and your sweater. So, okay, then this is the kicker, right?
He said, and finally, the last question. Did you look up this video?
And I was like, you know, see that right there. Because, okay, he said,
did you look up this video? Because if you did, you might have an anger problem. Or someone you know has an anger problem. So look at my other videos.
I was like, you know what? No. I looked it up because I had questions. And for you to just say I have an anger problem, that's not fair. All right? So you can look up anything on YouTube, you know? Like, and yeah, I know I sound a little agitated, but you can look up anything on YouTube. You can find out how to do open heart surgery. Does that mean I want to cut a person open? No. I was looking for information, and I feel slightly, a little bit, not going to lie to you, feel a little bit like that wasn't cool. So then I started thinking, I don't have an anger problem. I didn't want to be that bold with it, but I was like, you know what, there are some things that makes me angry, some things that I don't like, and I'm gonna tell you, the first thing I don't like is being tricked into something in the first place, or somebody not letting me ask questions. Like, I supposed to take it because he said I got an anger problem. I don't have an anger problem, so that's one thing I don't like. I don't like people who wink. I didn't say blink. I'm talking about people who actually like just wink one eye, like it's a secret or something. Like, hey, you know, yeah, hey, you know, yeah, I paid full price for this. Wink, wink. I don't like those people because that wink, it draws you in like you're a part of the secret, but you don't know. Because okay, I hang out, I know people who have like a wink that they can't control. I don't know if it's an involuntary movement. So you'd be talking to them, you'd be like, hey, what's for dinner? They have like peanut butter and jelly sandwich, wink. And you'd be like, so are we not eating peanut butter and jelly sandwich? Like, what's going on with that? I don't like that. I don't like high-waisted men, like men with childbearing hips. I don't know what it is. I don't trust it. Like, to me, it seemed like those be the type of men who would be on their woman or something. I don't know why. It looks wrong, especially with mom jeans. It perplexes me. Like, how does a man want to please a woman, but you shape like, there's questions there. It's none of my business. It disturbs me a little bit. I don't like people who laugh nervously. Like, okay. Let's see. So if this is a confrontation, right? Confrontation. You be, hey man, who you think you are? I don't know. Like, why are you laughing? Like, I come across that every now and then in my job. And I have to remind myself, like, maybe some people are nervous laughers. But that used to, ooh. Okay, y'all want to see a nervous laugher almost get, like, beat in jail or prison? Watch the original Scared Straight. The one where they took the kids in there. And this one guy, he was doing, like, 75 years for murder and, like, attempted murder, which is, like, the silver medal of murder, I guess. And the little kid, he had a little kid up there. I don't know, little young kid. And the black dude with his black power afro, he was like, say, Jack, what you in here for, man? And he was like, stealing bikes. He was like, you stealing bikes? You stealing bikes? Somebody gonna steal your seat, huh? Your little seat, your little banana seat, huh? And then he was like, he was like, what you laughing for? What you laughing for? And he was like, I don't know. You think it's funny? You think it's funny to be in jail, to be in prison? I'm in here for life. And he was like, and he told the guards, he said, get him out of here. Get him out of here before I kill him. And then the little boy started laughing even more. He said, you better wipe their smell off your face. He said, you think these guards can stop me from killing you? I'm in here for life. They can't do nothing. So he ended up walking the little boy off. And then, you know, they had him have a seat in the back. And he had to explain, like, afterward, like, I'm a nervous laugher. Like, dude, that's what I don't like. I don't, nervous laughers, because, like, you know, situations be serious. And all they sniggling and giggling, that ain't what's hot in the street. And Zion's actually a nervous laugher. And it took me a while, because I asked her why she do something. And it was like, you know, the sniggling. And then I fled back to, you know, to my man. You think it's funny your room ain't clean? Huh? Clean up the room. Right? So I did that. Another thing I don't like, and this is, I think maybe because I was on the other side of this fence. Okay. I don't like self-conscious heavyweight people or big people. The reason I say that is because I used to be a big guy. That's no secret. I used to be a big guy, but I never made excuses for being a big guy. I liked food. That's what I did. I ate. You know, I lived life to the fullest. I was jovial. You know, that was what I did. But since I've gotten on the other side of things, I'm, you know, a little svelte now, a little scrawny, some people say. I don't like it when I'm sitting there, I'm eating lunch, or somebody, you know, a heavier set person is next to me, and they're eating something. You know, and then they'd be like, I really shouldn't be eating this. Oh, well. But look, man, I don't want to hear that. If you're going to eat it, then eat it. Simple as that. Or like they just bring up their weight in the just most inopportune times. Like I'm going to get a drink, like a Kool-Aid. He'd be like, I guess I'll go get a root beer. I really should drink more water, you know. Dude, I don't care. Then drink the water. drink a bowl of gravy for all I care. But if just be comfortable in yourself. If you're not happy with what you got going on, then don't down yourself. That's all I'm saying. I like you regardless. You know, or, you know, when you sitting around in a circle, because this is what men do. We be sitting there jabbing on each other. They be like, huh, your shoes don't match. And then the heavyset person be like, I guess I wish I could see my shoes. Like, what? Like, why tear your own self down? That's uncalled for. It's unnecessary. It makes me uncomfortable. I like you for who you are. If you want to make changes, I'll help you make changes. If you don't, that's fine too. I don't need the self-pity because white boy say, because you're a man. So white boy be like, oh no, you're beautiful just the way you are. Look, man, if you wanna get yourself together, you got a person who's going to help you. But I cannot abide by this whole, this whole tearing yourself down. Man, life too short for that. And those are the things. If anything, Mr. Lispy, Jim Hansen, do you have an anger problem? Those are the things that made me angry, but I don't have a problem. That's the thing right there. All right, so that'll be another episode of Bros 3 Podcast. And, you know, real talk, it's a really nice thing to do to check in on people because you never know what they might be going through. To be completely honest with you, man, I've shed a couple tears this week. I'm not too big to say that. But the thing that gets me is if I feel like that, I'm sure there's people who feel that way too. There's someone who would love to hear your voice or even read a text. Like I had one person tell me, you called all those people, but you didn't call me. I was like, yeah, but you didn't call me neither. You know, I can only do so much. Anyway, be good, be sweet. Live life to the fullest. It don't cost much to be kind. A little empathy goes a long way. All right. Love you.